Hi everyone, good evening. Welcome to the AESA ARPA lecture series. Tonight we are delighted to have one of our old friends, Dr. Professor Mihran Aubabian. Everybody knows Mihran, I don't think he needs a long introduction, but you know that he is an emeritus professor at USC. He's a member of the Academy of Sciences of Armenia, a member of the Engineering Academy of the U.S. He's on numerous boards, technical and community boards, especially the AGBU Central Board, and he's very active in the Armenian community and has been a very strong supporter of the Armenian Engineers and Scientists of America and all the technical activities that is towards Armenia. We welcome Professor Aubabian, and also I'd like to mention that he was the key player and the organizer and the general chair of the first World Congress of the Armenian Engineers and Scientists of America. That was a very big success. Mihran.
Thank you very much, Agop, and I'm very happy to see so many friends here and some new faces, because I haven't been coming to the AESA functions as often as I used to. He's nodding his head. Anyway, this is an opportunity, and my wife is with me, and she said that she thought that it would be an interesting topic even for non-scientists and non-engineers, because we are all interested in the future of Armenia, and we know that science and technology are essential for the growth of the economy of Armenia. I have read recently a book which is the subject I'm going to cover today, this evening, and I don't know if some of you would like a copy of it. It's possible to obtain it by going to the National Academies Press, that is the U.S. National Academies Press. It is www.nap.edu. And there you'll get the information of the book that's entitled Science and Technology in Armenia Toward a Knowledge-Based Economy. I chose the topic of my talk this evening, the second part of the title of the book, Toward a Knowledge-Based Economy. And the idea here is, of course, to find out if there is any opportunity for Armenia to move forward in building its economy on the basis of science and technology. What an important subject for us who are involved with the Armenian Engineers and Scientists of America and ARPA. And so I read this with a lot of interest. Of course, I had a little bit of background on it before it was published, because I happened to be one of the reviewers of the draft of the report. They asked me and a number of others to do the reviewing of the draft. The report was prepared by six scientists and engineers of the United States National Academies, headed by a professor at Caltech. His name is John Baltusch-Wheeler, and he is a professor of chemistry. And the other five cover different areas, including biology, geology, and so on. The book was published in the year 2004, so a lot of the material that they reference was available to them from the years 2000 to 2004. A few things have happened since then, and I'm going to comment on a number of them. Well, I think that the report generally is positive, but you'll be hearing me say a few things that you may not like very much, because Some of the criticisms are rather serious. Some of the statements they make are not new to some of you. As I heard earlier said, something like 18, 20 years ago, we were concerned about Armenia's direction in the area of science and technology. It reminded me of a friend of mine who has since passed away, Vasken Parsegian, who was a physicist and a dean of physics, dean of sciences at the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in New York. He had gone to Armenia a number of times, and he had made some very strong recommendations for improving the science technology program of Armenia, and each time he submitted a suggestion, he was turned down. Because by accepting any of his suggestions, it meant that they had to restructure themselves, give up some of the authority, and the so-called oligarchs of science would have lost their power. So they kept turning him down, but he was persistent. And I have said in my notes here that one of the reasons why he was not elected to the Armenian Academy of Sciences was because of his strong recommendations. I did not make strong recommendations, so they elected me. I wouldn't say that my recommendations were taken seriously. At times they were, I think, but nothing much came out of them. Incidentally, the recommendations of these six American scientists and engineers are not very different than what Vasken Parsegian had said at that time. So things have not changed as much as we had hoped. Now the committee paid a visit to Armenia, six of them. They spent a little over a week there, and they talked to eight government ministries, 14 institutes of the Armenian Academy of Sciences, seven universities, four private companies, and five non-governmental organizations. Of course, they couldn't do this all in 1 week, all six of them together, so they split into three groups of two, and they went around talking to various groups, taking notes, asking questions, analyzing the results, and they wrote what I would consider one of the best concise reports on the status of science and technology in Armenia. As they were going around looking at the information that they were receiving, something was handed over to them. It was Government Resolution Number 1032N of August 2002, approved by President Kocharyan, which was entitled On Science and Technology Development Priorities in the Republic of Armenia. This report says, the government of the Republic of Armenia decides to approve the science and technology development priorities as follows. And then they categorize the areas. Number one, Armenian studies. Two, basic research promoting applied research of vital importance. Three, special purpose research. Four, on formation technologies, advanced technologies such as biotechnology and nanotechnology. New energy sources. And finally, risk factors and human health and new materials. This government decision 1032-N states, the Ministry of Education and Science, the National Academy of Sciences, and other interested ministries are prescribed to undertake adequate measures directed to the development of priority science and technology fields and the training and retraining of skilled specialists. Basically, this is a directive from the government of Armenia to the scientists and technologists of the country. Well, the academy, which is the primary base for research and technology in Armenia, and I don't have to say much more than that, you know where it stands in the picture of the economy of Armenia. they accepted the government directive and they said, okay, let us do something about it. So they prepared a comprehensive proposal on implementing the research and development that is required. And I'm reading from their report. They were disappointed that there was no action from the government to proceed with the tasks that they defined. They wrote, there is an urgent need to energize the work of the Scientific and Technical Policy Council, the highest entity involved in forming and implementing science policy in the Republic of Armenia. It is difficult to explain the fact that over the course of several years, the Russian Federation, following our example, organized an analogous council under the auspices of the Russian president, while we, in fact, consigned our own council to inactivity. Why? Numerous attempts have been made to revive the work of the council, but without results. We are certain, and here is a positive note, we are certain that the President of the Republic will succeed in taking care of this situation. As you will find later on, things are getting worse rather than getting better. Well, during this period of inactivity on the part of the government, an annual budget of 3% of total government budget was approved for science and technology. But only 1% was released from the government funds. This amounted to $3 million per year for the Academy of Sciences and another $3 million for the other institutes at Yerevan State University and so on. We note here that there are around 4,000 scientists and engineers at the Academy and just as many in other institutions and universities. This amounts to about 8,000 of them in the country, and they depend to a large extent on the salaries that they receive based on the funding that the government approves and also other external funds. I calculated that this comes to about $800 a year in income per scientist in Armenia, $800 per year. As you know now, the cost of living in Armenia is such that one may be able to support a family with $200 a month, but you know, even that is not very easy. So what are these scientists doing with $800 in annual income? They are waiting. The American committee's report, the six scientists, shows tremendous insight into the strengths and weaknesses of science and technology in Armenia. And it is very tactful in its recommendations. I happened to meet a senior scientist from Armenia after this, the visit of these six scientists, and I said to him, what do you think of the visit of the American scientists who came and investigated the status of science and technology and how it will help the economy of Armenia? His answer was, well, they did a superficial review and nothing much can be of benefit to us. Remember, he was a very senior scientist. The senior ones are the ones that don't want their power base to be disturbed, you see. This is a post-Soviet reaction coming from a senior scientist, and it reminds me that this is nothing new, because it is unfortunately the situation that frustrates the young scientists of Armenia. Let me give you first a glimpse of the contents of the report. The task given to them states, it will analyze the current status and future development potential of Armenia's science and technology base, including human and infrastructural resources and research and educational capabilities. It will identify those fields and institutions offering promising opportunities for contributing to economic and social development, and particularly institutions having unique and important capabilities. worthy of support from international financial institutions, private investment sources, and the Armenian and U.S. governments. That's the charge given to this committee. And the scientific team, this committee, reported on the following topics. Number one, existing institutional capacity. Number two, higher education capacity and trends. Number three, funding sources. Number four, innovative investments in industry, agriculture, and business. Number five, factors hindering development. And number six, opportunities for regional scientific collaboration. I'll read one paragraph per item. On the first one, on existing institutional capacity, the report states, some research institutes, especially in the Armenian Academy, are of marginal viability, scientifically and financially. However, their employment of a significant number of people provides an important social safety net. Government-funded research performed by ministries and non-academy institutes at universities often are tailored to specific needs in Armenia. As such, they have limited transferability. Research by private firms face several significant hurdles, including a shortage of qualified specialists trained in technology transfer, marketing, and management, and a general lack of an understanding of intellectual property, and the lack of available credit on reasonable terms. Together, these factors make it very difficult for successful commercialization of the products of research in order to improve the economy of Armenia. Remember, we're talking about science and technology as a basis for the economic growth of Armenia. So from that perspective, what they're saying is there's a limited potential as it stands right now. Item two, on higher education capacity and trends. Graduate enrollments are highest in engineering, physics, and mathematics, and medicine. There is, in the book, a tabulation of the number of people who go for a PhD or MD or some higher degree, and you will see that in some of the other fields, there are very few who take that kind of a direction. So engineering, physics and mathematics, and medicine. These are the areas where they concentrate. The greatest strength, and remember that even though I'm negative as I go along, the report every so often makes a very positive statement. And I like when I run across a positive statement. The greatest strength is the long tradition of respect for all areas of science and for science education. That's a positive statement. The report adds, however, that there are many problems. At the top of the list is the missing cohort of middle-level faculty due to mass emigration of scientists during difficult economic times. The replenishment of the science faculties with younger members is being hindered by the lack of open positions and the low salaries offered for the jobs that are available. In particular, this is very interesting, software companies pay more than universities, so graduates are going directly to salaried jobs when available instead of graduate school. You know, there are hundreds or thousands of persons in the software industry in Yerevan, and we all are elated by the fact that there is so much work going on in Armenia in the business of computer software and related fields of computer sciences. That's the positive side. The negative side is that the job opportunities are so good for these people that they don't want to continue their studies beyond the engineering degree they receive at the Polytechnic or Yerevan State University. Item three is on funding sources. The report identifies three sources for the Armenian Academy. The Armenian government funding, as I said, it was about $3 million, or half of 1% of the government budget. International sources, $3.3 million came from international sources, including the U.S. government, and the private sector that funds only specific projects. Here's a footnote for you. I was happy to see ANSEF on the list of non-government sources. ANSEF stands for Armenian National Science and Engineering Fund, which was founded in the United States by a small number of scientists and engineers, some of whom are members of AESA, Harut Barsamian being the leading activist on this. Well, on the fourth item of innovative investments in industry, agriculture, and business, here I think I have to go a little slowly, because here is the gist of the report. Basically, they are saying, if you want to get into innovative investments in Armenia, here are the areas of opportunity. And they list a number of them. I'll just list them. First, information technology, particularly software development. Second, semiconductors. Third, infrared detectors. Fourth, production of large single crystals. Fifth, laser technology and light detection. Next, precision electromechanical instruments. Next, analytical services. Next, specialty chemicals and specialty materials. Then, specialty agricultural products and processing. Functional foods that provide health benefits beyond simple nutrition. Genetic testing, other clinical laboratory services, and human clinical trials. Regional health centers, geological sciences and earthquake engineering, and finally mineral refining. Having looked at the various technologies in Armenia, they singled these out as having potential to develop the economy of Armenia. When Anahit Yeramian saw this, she was very upset. She called me up and she got very angry that they had not included the cosmic ray division. And I gave her the name of the chairman of the committee. I said, please call him and talk to him. But having reread that portion of the report, I see that the report really praises the cosmic division for their initiative. But he says, that's good to encourage basic science, but we're talking about science that will improve the economy of Armenia. And that's why they left it out of this list. Okay, on factors hindering development, here we go again. The report states, much of the progress of contemporary science comes from interdisciplinary research, and centers of excellence should be designed to break down the narrow focus that characterizes Armenia's science and technology organizations. Armenia must move toward an integration of education and research, focusing on fewer research institutions than now exist, and creating centers of excellence corresponding to areas of national priority. The report adds further that strong Armenian government leadership is needed, including a long-term budgetary commitment to upgrade the science and technology base. Where it says Armenia must move toward an integration of education and research, it reminded me of Vasken Parseyan's recommendations more than 20 years ago, and that's where he was having that problem, convincing the academy and the Yerevan State University leadership that they should come together and establish a combined research and education program. So the problem has remained throughout the years, and these people have picked it up to make it a strong point. And finally, on opportunities for regional scientific collaboration, the report states, the science and technology capacity of Armenia is much greater than the current ability of the economy to absorb its output. Therefore, external customers are essential if this capacity is to be sustained. This requires travel and connectivity as well as effective marketing. Business management skills are a critical need in Armenia. MBA training programs should be expanded. We did one thing about this at the American University of Armenia. We have a combined program with the State Engineering University of Armenia with the support of Yuri Sarkisian, where their students have a combined program where they get their engineering degree from the State University and the MBA from AUA. And some of the engineers now are coming out with a good background in business management. Well, among the conclusions, the report says, the recent inclusion of Armenia, I'm going to come to the Millennium Challenge problem, which you may have heard of and you'll be following the news maybe. But the report at that time, in the year toward the end of 2004, when they published it, they say, the recent inclusion of Armenia among the countries eligible to participate in the activities of the new Millennium Challenge Corporation, MCC, provides an excellent opportunity to seek funding for particularly promising science and technology development projects. Well, I must say here that when the U.S. ambassador to Armenia, John Ordway at the time, requested the U.S. National Academy of Sciences to conduct this study by the six American scientists and engineers, the MCC, that's the Millennium Challenge Corporation, was just being organized in Washington with a $3.5 billion budget to assist a select number of some of the poorest countries in the world. The purpose was the reinforcement of sound political, economic, and social policies that promote economic growth. Of the 17 countries selected, Armenia and Georgia were the only two former Soviet republics. When Armenia received word that they are one of the 17 candidates and that they had to prepare a proposal, the Ministry of Finance and Economy issued a solicitation inviting proposals from government agencies for possible inclusion in Armenia's submittal to MCC. The Armenian National Academy of Sciences became actively involved in preparing a proposal on science and technology programs to be included in the MCC submittal. But the Armenian government did not include this in their submittal. The compact, the so-called contract between Armenia and MCC, consisted of a proposal for a four-year program involving a budget of $175 million covering water irrigation and rural roads. The Armenian proposal stated that the objective of the proposed work was to increase agricultural productivity and output and reduce rural poverty. It also stated that a future phase would involve transport, including railroads and east-west roads. This compact was approved by MCC with a $235.65 million and a five-year budget instead of a four-year budget. So the $170 million four-year budget was increased to $235 million and a five-year program. Although science and technology did not enter in Armenia's submittal, the work by the Armenian National Academy of Sciences in the preparation of a proposal for consideration gave an opportunity for the scientists and the government to look seriously at the potential benefits of what we call a knowledge-based economy. A reading of the Armenian Academy's proposal leaves me hopeful that positive steps may be taken in the future, although I don't know when. Let me give you some background now on the Millennium Challenge Corporation, because it's very current and it's happening right now. The U.S. Congress authorized the MCC in January 2004 to carry out the mission of achieving lasting economic growth and poverty reduction in countries with a demonstrated commitment to, underlining the words, governing justly, investing in people, and encouraging economic freedom. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was appointed chair, and a group of prominent persons in U.S. government and industry were included as members of the board. In the year 2005, the MCC evaluated 64 countries as potential candidates for funding and selected 17 countries, as I said earlier, and Armenia was one of them. On December 16, 2005, the chief executive officer of MCC, Danilovich is his name, wrote a letter to President Kocharyan informing that MCC had approved Armenia as one of the selected countries. But it added, the letter to Kocharyan added, I must, however, inform you that the delay in the MCC board's decision was a direct result of concerns raised regarding the conduct of the November 27 constitutional referendum, including but not limited to allegations of fraud, electoral mismanagement, mistreatment of individuals from opposition political parties, and uneven access to the media. He further added that progress in this area was necessary to avoid either suspension or termination. In the meantime, MCC went on and negotiated contracts with other countries, which apparently did not have the same serious problem that Armenia had. A response from the Foreign Minister Vartan Oskanyan assured that the government would satisfy the conditions of governing justly, investing in people, and encouraging economic freedom. This has temporarily satisfied the MCC, and on January 23, 2006, MCC announced that it had approved the five-year $235 million compact with the Republic of Armenia. The signing of the compact is scheduled for March 27, which is next week, and Secretary of State Rice and Foreign Minister Vartan Oskanyan will be in Washington for this important event. As I stated earlier, the Armenian proposal states that the funds will be used for irrigation and rural roads, aimed at increasing agricultural production in poor rural areas. It is important to note here that the Armenian government has selected a very important program. This is my feeling, and the feeling of many others, that the Armenian government, although it has made many mistakes along the way, like dropping out science and technology as a component of the economy of the country, but they did pick an important area that MCC liked, and that is for the economic growth of the country and for reduction of poverty in rural areas, they were going to concentrate on irrigation and improvement of rural roads. But what is disappointing is that the science and technology proposal for economic development was not included, as I said. Okay. Now I'm getting toward the end of my presentation, and then I hope that you will have a little time for questions. Now, recently I've been reading Gurung, as everyone reads, I think, in this room. Asped Bedrosyan does a wonderful job of compiling the news that's going, that has an impact on Armenia and on the diaspora. Some disturbing news has come from Armenia recently. In a January 28, 2006, in a news release in Gurung with the heading "No Demand for Science in Armenia," we read that an opposition member of parliament, Tatul Manasarian, reports that only the commission head and two members of parliament were present at a recent science-focused parliamentary hearing. It means indifferent people are sitting. It means indifferent people are sitting in the country's parliament, Manasarian said. Do you remember Manasarian? He was here. He's quite an aggressive parliamentarian in Armenia now. Now, later than that, in February 27, 2006, a news release came out with the heading, "National Academy of Science has disappeared from the program." Deputy Humaya Kovanesyan asked the government if the omission of the academy in the draft resolution entitled "State Support for Innovational Activity" means the dropping of the academy, means that the government has already buried the academy. The government's reply was an elusive statement that the government will continue its activity. The word buried was used, In other words, we are burying the academy, along with it the 4,000 scientists who will end up somewhere. There's a program. We know that there's a program. There's a consideration of what to do to improve the situation, but in the meantime, the negative impact is becoming very serious. All right, I'm going to end this talk by going back to the report of the American scientists, which is this report I referred to earlier. I think that the appendices in this report are also very interesting because of the kind of information they have compiled. Although the Millennium Challenge Corporation program has not included science and technology as outlined by this report, and as also stated by the Armenian Academy's proposal, we have available at our disposal an excellent reference for planning what I call a toward a knowledge-based economy in Armenia, when funds become available. The organization and management of such a program has not yet solidified because the Armenian Academy of Sciences is fighting for its life and other institutions have not moved in to assume a significant leadership role. But as an optimist, I want to repeat to you a statement I found in this report. Here is six American scientists with an optimistic statement that says, Armenians are not only survivors, but professionals who came through very rough times with their morale intact and their standards high. Those poor guys, I shouldn't say poor, those guys who worked so hard to find positive things ended up with a rather negative report. But they didn't give up. They said, we still trust that the Armenians will come through. They are survivors. The professionals have come through before during very rough times with their morale intact and their standards high. And I hope they are right. Thank you very much. If you have questions or comments.
I have a comment. It seems to me that the report really, for those people who are intimately familiar with Armenia and the situation in the higher educational institutions and science and industry in general, doesn't really tell you anything new. I mean, we knew all those
yes.
things that they already stressed. However, for me, the bottom line is, what can be done to make the government and also the higher authorities in the science area, as you mentioned, the senior scientists, so to speak, to realize that this is a really serious problem and somebody needs to really act on it? What can be done? What can the diaspora do? The engineering, you know, the engineers and scientists, or the higher authorities within the Armenian community in the diaspora? What can be done so that we can convince them that this is something important and the diaspora can benefit such a planning activity?
Well, I think you asked the basic and most critical question. As I was putting together my thoughts on this, I was thinking that diaspora has not done enough. The diaspora has been sort of either brainwashed or in some ways misled by the very smart, clever people of Armenia. We go there and we help them in this and that. We open hospitals, we open clinics, we open universities. But the local people are not really seeing the potential for the growth or the economic growth of Armenia other than that upper 5%. And the diaspora has something more to say than those individual projects that we start here and there. You know, for example, I don't remember that we have confronted the government of Armenia with this issue that the scientists and engineers of Armenia, while they're struggling for survival, the potential of economic growth of Armenia based on science and technology is disappearing by and by. Can you imagine that one half of 1% of the government budget was allocated to the Armenian Academy of Sciences when the parliament presented to the president who approved a budget of something like $600 million, of which 3% was going to science and technology. 3% is $18 million. And they got $3 million, and then the other $3 million were scattered to the university and other places. Now, why would the government withdraw $12 million out of the approved budget of the parliament, which he had signed? and get by any opposition to the fact that he did not fulfill the pledge that he had made, that he was going to support science and technology with 3% of the budget. This is in the diaspora. Have we said anything to Foreign Minister Vartan Oskanian as to what's going on? Have we said anything to the Minister of Finance and Economy, who is coming to Washington next week to sign that $235 million contract? You are right. I mean, we haven't done what we can do, and there is a lot that the diaspora can do. But we are misdirected in the fact that we get a lot of satisfaction when we hear that somebody refurbished a school in Yerevan or established an institution in Karabakh and so on. Those are very important, I admit. But it's not solving the problem. It is helping specific groups of individuals, but the overall situation in Armenia has not been impacted by the diaspora. What else can we do? I mean, that's, here is ASA as a group of scientists and engineers. Our voice should be more stronger. It should be heard. Maybe a delegation of ASA people should go to Armenia and say, let's find out what's going on here. Like these six scientists did, you know, they went at the request of the ambassador of the United States to Armenia, John Ordway, whom some of you know, the one who preceded Ambassador Evans. He was concerned. He said something has to be done about the situation here, and so he contacted the office in Washington. And he, by the way, he knew about this Millennium corporation that was going to distribute money to the various countries, including Armenia. So he said, here is an opportunity. If the highest level of scientific authority in the United States, the National Academy, sends a delegation of respectable, highly, highly established individuals to go make an independent study, come up with a report, maybe something can be done. I don't know the answer to the question that has puzzled me. As I said earlier, I think what Armenia selected for the Millennium Project, rural roads and water irrigation in the outlying regions of Armenia, excellent, extremely important for Armenia. But who asked the President or the Minister of Finance and Economy from the United States or from the diaspora, why did you leave out science and technology? I have not seen an answer to that. Wherever I searched, I didn't see it. So apparently we're not doing our job as well as we should.
I was thinking that maybe the government did not do such a bad job by going to agriculture and road building. Maybe they have given up on the scientists of Armenia, the scientific structure of Armenia, and specifically the National Academy of Sciences. I think the biggest hindrance to the science is the old people ruling the National Academy of Sciences, and I think people that have gone there have realized this. But it's very difficult from the diaspora to do something about that. It would have been nice for people from the diaspora to go and encourage younger people to start, not an academy, but to encourage them and to direct money to them so that they would stay in Armenia, they would work in Armenia, they would be teachers and professors in Armenia. They cannot advance because the jobs are held by the older people that are in the Academy of Sciences. I think the biggest hindrance is not the government, but the National Academy of Science itself.
You have certainly some truth in that. I agree with you 100% that the young people are the future of Armenia, and they are not being given the opportunity to do what they can do by the, I call them the oligarchs of science, who don't want to relinquish their positions and they don't allow. There is a way around that according to this report. This report realizes that problem too, as you can tell. In a couple of places they have criticized the academy and the senior scientists and so on. What they're saying is it's good for Armenia to start thinking of establishing what they call, in quotation, centers of excellence. Establish a project which will be including in it competent, talented, very dedicated young scientists and call them centers of excellence. And maybe that's going to happen. Maybe that's happening.
The diaspora could help those young scientists, yeah. And they should be completely independent and nothing to do with the academy,
yeah.
And
yeah.
All the people over there.
Well, that's
then,
what. Yeah.
Then that's the direction that the diaspora maybe could help.
I think you're right. I think maybe the time is coming when we can be more useful. Yeah.
It's all financial.
Just a small observation. Maybe giving the government of Armenia too much credit in terms of they've given up on the chapter assignments. It just occurred to me that basically what the government has proposed is to work on the infrastructure, the physical infrastructure of Armenia, which is the continuation of the economic policy of the past 4 or 5 years, maybe longer, of focusing on construction. And those who are going to make money off of construction. This is just a continuation.
Yeah.
As you see, the buildings are, the high rises are being built left and right, and the real estate prices have gone up like crazy that the locals, not only locals, even a person like me can hardly afford anymore. And this is just a continuation of the same policy. I don't think it's a Armenia-centric policy, this MCC challenge project. It's not. In the long run, it may become, but at this stage, the objective is not Armenia-centric. It is towards a certain group of people who are going to make money off of the construction process. As regards to knowledge-based economy, I don't think there is any knowledge-based economy in Armenia. People are happy with the growth of the so-called IT industry in Armenia. And you know, as someone who's focused on information technology and science-based IT, I don't call software development or writing programs an IT industry. It's kind of like using a word processor as opposed to developing the software behind the word processor. And what we're helping create in Armenia now is a bunch of programmers without the basic science behind it. And it's only a temporary fix. We need to focus on the science of the knowledge part of the economy rather than writing programs. And I think AUA is also responsible partly for pushing for software programming as opposed to science.
Well, I will pass on that criticism to the AUA management. I know that they recently started what is known as Information Technology Department. And what exactly they're doing, I'm not familiar.
I've gone to their website and I've seen the courses that they offer. Frankly, it's not impressive. It's not impressive to the point that a community college in this country offers the same, which is just software programming, C++ and C. That is not science. That is not information technology. That's just programming. There's a huge difference. There's a huge gap between computer programming and the science that goes into it. Biotechnology or engineering are the science of it. That's what's important, not computer programming.
You're right.
If
I
may interrupt, I think
sure.
the basic reason for that is, in my mind at least, is that we lack leaders in science in Armenia. There is no scientific leadership. Those that consider themselves leaders, as Zikran mentioned, are the old-timers, and they think they know everything, and they are the ones who should be consulted for any activity in science, and so they don't let anything go if they don't know about it. So I think that's the main problem. We lack scientific leadership.
And that will come from the younger scientists.
The younger scientists. Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, also, the time has gone for Armenia to be a leader in pure science. I mean, you cannot expect a very small country with very small resources to do great thing in pure science, which requires huge amount of money. Even the United States and is lagging sometimes in those areas. I think what Armenia can do best is applied science and applied engineering. I know that IT is the lowest rank of those things. I'm not saying that one should go to just be programmer, but we should not expect to be in cosmology and space science and big astronomy and that type of things. I think it cannot be done. We don't have the money. None of the small countries 10 times or 20 times larger than Armenia do not get involved in that type of science.
No, I meant applied science. I meant
applied
science of engineering, not esoteric science.
Yeah, that's right.
Applied science, for example, MEMS and nanotechnology
are applied.
Well, of course, some of those scientific fields the report recommends as possibilities. You wanted to say something?
You mentioned a root cause, in my opinion, because there are symptoms, and there are also root causes that cause the symptoms. In the book that you mentioned, they mentioned, six scientists, that some of the weaknesses were marketing, program management, collecting the leading the sciences. Now, in this country, those of us who work for the big corporations, there are a lot of scientists and engineers work over there. We know that it is not inexpensive, it's very expensive to keep scientists researching in labs and not generating revenue. I have worked for Hughes Aircraft Company for 30 years and retired from them. They didn't survive either, because you cannot just continue research and development without having products that come back to be sold in the marketplace. Somebody will come and buy them like they did in the U.S. And in Armenia, when the funds are less, when there's no lack of leadership that somebody mentioned here, the leadership in program management to get a science and apply it to become a product, to me, is a deficiency that I have noticed with the scientists of Armenia. They are excellent and probably up to par with many scientists in this country. But when it comes to application, there seems to be no leadership or no transition. Science stays as science, no products come out.
Yeah, Mark?
Actually, what you were saying is a fantastic commercial that was on our televisions a few decades ago, which was Rockwell International, where science gets down to business. You remember that on television?
Yeah.
So that's what you were saying. But besides the point, number one, as far as the Academy of Science is concerned, I have considered it to be a counterproductive organization post-Soviet period. The equivalent of that 4,000 in the United States or in most Western countries, mostly reside in universities. The Academy of Sciences has created some kind of a gyration where people, the tendency was to move from the university environment to go to the Academy of Sciences and for life, quote unquote, retire or whatever the case is. And that's where that stagnation and so forth has come. That's one. And number two, obviously I haven't read the book, so I really don't know what the thrust of the solution is. But one of the problems that you just touched on, what Armenia lacks is capital formation. But when there is no capital formation, then that corporate structure and so forth is not there. And therefore, when every time anything, an idea that is germinated someplace, and everybody looks at the government to finance it, and we're looking at a government that has hardly any income, then obviously everything just collapses. I mean, what has to be done, I think, in Armenia is this culture of capital formation. And it is not happening, and that's before anything happens, capital has to be there. And the capital formation is not something which is in the public sector, which is government, but actually it is the private sector.
Yeah.
And this is the difference between Western structure, economies, and so on and so forth. So somebody said that, you know, the symptoms you have to look at, basically this is what it is. The private sector is not there, the government is incompetent, The government has lots of other priorities, survival or otherwise, and therefore anything that is suggested is going to be channeled through the government, it basically is handicapped before ground zero.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Avagian, we hope someday Armenia's economy will be based, in fact, on science and technology. Is there any agreement to say what is the primary driving force of the Armenian economy now, today?
Anyone has an answer to the question? What's the primary driving force of the economy in Armenia?
According to the World Bank and IMF, about, from non-official sources, about $240 million goes to Armenia from private sources. About $20 million a month. That's the latest figure,
okay,
which I think is 2,200. It is also estimated by some private economists that within 50 days, the $20 million that goes to Armenia every month immediately goes out of Armenia in three forms. Most of the economy is imports, and unfortunately non-productive imports like cigarettes, Coca-Cola, ice cream, oil, whatever. Okay? And all that money is redirected to either Tehran, Moscow, or Ankara, because that's where these things come from. That's number one. The profit margin, which is the oligarchs and so forth, they immediately deposit it outside Armenia. Therefore, that's another source of money going out. And the third source is through government taxation and so forth they collect, which basically is never replowed into the economy anyway. So basically, all this money that's going over, which is free money, not internally generated, never stays in the country. It goes out, which again addresses the issue of no capital formation because the money is not staying there. And this is not an economy, but they call it economy. And one of the most puzzling things for me is that sometimes I read the IMF report and they say that here is, you know, certain numbers are growing here and there. And I keep on calling these guys and saying, okay, of all that, where is the capital that's being formed in the country? And they say, well, we didn't look in that direction.
Well, yes, you have a question there? No.
On the same subject, I wonder why, if I suspect that there's something else that the government thinks is the primary driving force of the Armenian economy. If it weren't, why would they spend all this money on research and development for irrigation, for rural transportation?
It's agriculture.
It has to be agriculture. I don't know what Mark is saying. There's a lot of money going there. But the indigenous activity for a new country, just in the throes of becoming independent and self-sufficient, has to be agriculture.
Production of food.
Production of food. I think that's what I am beginning to even get more convinced because of just what you said, spending money on research and development for road building and farming and irrigation and so on fortifies that opinion.
Mm-hmm. Harold, that report was generated that one of the pillars of Armenian economy is going to be agriculture about 6 or 7 years ago by the Armenian economists. So that is partly true. But, you know, to kill the Armenian sciences and technology just for the sake of it, agriculture does not explain everything, because agriculture is only one recommended pillar of the economy.
It's not to kill anything. It's to survive.
I just want to make one comment real quick. A lot of you guys had awesome comments to make, but I just want you guys to not forget that the senior engineers have so much to offer. And we working with doctors, it's hard for somebody to give up control. So it doesn't mean they know any less than the younger people. They know a whole lot more. And maybe we can do something and have a mentor program and have the seniors work with the younger generation to do that, to pick the brain of the senior engineer.
By definition, that's a university environment.
The university.
By definition.
I don't know much about the academy. And one other thing, is there no checks and balances? How can Kocharian sign that approval of that amount, and then they turn around and say, oh, it's this many million less? Where's the czar, the financial...
Well, of course, we don't know where the balance was reallocated. We don't know that.
The military, possibly.
Yes, Sarkis.
I don't know what they told these American scientists, the Armenian government. I find it very difficult to get straight answers from Armenia. Recently, they published the 97-98 page report about 2005, about vital statistics, economy, etc., etc. It's a shame. If you are interested, read these 98 pages. I would give them a D, D minus. They don't have the slightest idea of what is the statistics. And they have contacted me saying that you are wrong. I wrote an article about AIDS, and they contacted me and said, your figures are wrong. I said, I got the figures from you.
Yeah.
And, for example, the Minister of Health declared 6 months ago that there are 500 people applying to go to Armenia to get Armenicum for AIDS. This is not possible. There isn't a single article about Armenicum. I questioned the Minister of Health at the medical conference. I told him, you have declared that there are 500 people from America, Africa, asking for a visa to go to Armenia for treatment. He said, I never made this declaration. I said, I got the information from your office. I mean, how can we rely on these people? They have statistics on infant mortality as if they have come from the moon, those who make the statistics. I mean,
Is it because they don't know much about statistics as a mathematical activity, or is it because they give you false information on purpose?
I don't know. It is so strange, the figures they give. It's worth reading the whole report. It's 98 pages.
Yeah.
It's the computer. It's Armenia, Men and Women, 2005.
Yeah.
Everybody can read it and see what the stupid figures they have.
They are pattern. You see, just a comment on this one. You remember back in 1991, 92, there were Beltway bandits from Washington. They all rushed in, consultants and so on. And these guys were sitting in their offices and watching. And they knew how much these Americans were consultants working in paint. And they know that these guys were writing reports all fabricated. These Beltway bandits, I mean, thousands of pages of reports had no end. And these guys in Armenia started thinking, and this is their comment, some my analysis, thinking that all you have to do is just put a report out there, and you get the money. Okay? And this is why it's all fabricated stuff that they always come up, and whatever
they get,
you want,
yeah.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
First of all, thank you for a wonderful presentation. I learned a lot. Not being in any kind of field like you are a scientist. I had a different experience. The medical field that we got involved, the statistics we received from the Ministry of Health, not the current one, the one before, from Lori region, we questioned that. We said, is it true what we're looking at? Is this really the problem in that area? So we went in and did an assessment, and we found the same thing. Maybe not the way they would report the data, the way we would do it here, but at least the problem that they had identified, we also found the same thing. So I don't think it's all bad, but you have to go in and make your own assessment and really confirm and then go to the
Yeah, problem. You're right. Yes. Well, one more comment.
Comment towards the end.
Yeah.
The gentleman made a very good point about our capital formation. I know that the Confession Foundation has just started an incubator program that they launched, I think, the end of January of this year, that they are going to act just like a regular venture capitalist in Armenia supporting their businesses and looking for a business proposal. Exactly the same process of review as you would find in this country. I think with anywhere between 100,000 to 500,000 capital per project, which is significant for Armenia. So the process, the process is starting. Perhaps one of the things that the diaspora needs to do rather than spending money on making up building facades is maybe we should start having the fund that we all put into in terms of creating a fund for business education, which would be a win-win situation for everyone.
Capital formation, whatever, to define what I said. Capital formation means Armenians putting their own money. See, again, the official thing and so on is diaspora money. I want to see the venture capitalist, okay, in Armenia, who goes out there, puts $20,000 from this Armenian, Armenian, and that's the money that's getting invested. What? That's what capital formation.
How much money is there in Armenia?
There is a lot of money. There's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It takes leadership.
That time may come too. Yes, on.
One is this report that the National Academy put out. How many of these reports have they put out for the different countries? And that's one question.
Yeah.
The second question is, what does the report say about science and technology in Armenia, and more specifically about the Armenian Academy of Science?
Well, I look at the publications of the Academy, and probably this was the first one of this kind for a specific purpose. In other words, the State Department wanted to put some money into these 16 countries, and they looked through them. By the way, some of the countries I had not even heard about. Do you know where Vanuatu is? It's one of the countries. Benin is another one, and so on. So Armenia is probably one of the larger of the 16, I don't know. Georgia is larger. But this is probably one of very few reports that the National Academy has prepared at the request of the U.S. government, in this case, the State Department. So they don't do this very often. Now, I looked at the backgrounds of the six people who were selected, and they really cover the spectrum in the sense that they include microbiologists, they include geologists, they include chemists, physicists, engineers, and so on. Of the six, there is a good cross-section of what the science and technology of a country like Armenia should consist of. So the report basically is positive about the areas of technology that have found a place in Armenia, but they are in the wrong places, according to them. That's what they're saying. That's why they keep coming back to this centers of excellence concept. We should have centers of excellence. Second thing they say, we should integrate education and science, which is something that was commented on before. And also they say the government is not giving them any strong direction. On the contrary, the government is letting down the scientists. And finally, it's saying, in so many words, the Armenian Academy is passé. It's not going to be revived. The glorious years are behind them. The new era does not need the Academy as it is presently organized. And therefore, we should do something different. I mean, they're saying all these things, but here and there, they are giving some positive statements about the capability that exists in Armenia. There is good capability in Armenia in spite of the fact that the young scientists have emigrated. There is still a lot of good potential in Armenia if you can channel them, support them, and direct them. I think
it's center of, we talk about center of excellence.
Yeah.
This is an old concept, it's center of excellence.
Yeah.
Well, it happens
here too, here, yeah.
How are they mentioning in the book how these central excellences will be financed and kept? Government cannot afford them naturally, but are they mentioning any other method that they could be afforded, the finances?
Yeah, the private sector. You see, I have here a list of people who have provided financial support for science in Armenia.
Okay.
And you see them, that's why ANSEF is one of them.
Huh? Is this from Armenia?
No, they are from abroad. Armenia has not hardly anything. Hardly anything. If you look at what I have them here, one second.
Yeah, ANSEF you mentioned.
Yeah. Well,
I think Mihran, yeah. We are putting the money not in the right places. I don't say in the wrong places, but we are putting the money not in the right places. For example, ANSEF is giving money to do research, so they're funding a few researchers. On the other hand, if they take that money and, for example, contribute it to a development of a center of excellence,
yeah.
It will be much more productive in the long run.
Yeah.
Second, for example, the AUA, it seems to me the mission that it has established, at least in my mind, looks like is to prepare young men and women for jobs. Now, if they turn that around and serve as a liaison between, let's say, the university and the educational system and the industrial system and create courses and programs where you address some of the needs that, for example, the report addresses, that will be a great, I think, contribution
yes.
put towards the Armenia's economy. So I think there's things to be done, but I think we, as diaspora, we are also not working towards a general approach to the planning for the economy of Armenia.
You are right, and I think that the AUA is, there's no other place in Armenia that's comparable to AUA in the sense that American technology, American science can be nurtured at AUA more readily than any other place, and they have to do much more than what they're doing. I agree with you. It is time for them to think in terms of not only finding jobs for their graduates, but establishing a base on which to build, you know,
long-term
yeah, base.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I'm going to pass this suggestion to the governing people. Well, thank you very much for your time and attention.